B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, covering Radio Row from north to south. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Patrick, two questions. Have you called your ex-teammate, D. Ford, and asked him if he'll jump off sides a few times for you?
I did not. I mean, D's a great football player, and I know it's going to be a great challenge trying to block him and going up against him.
Now, second of all, how creepy is it when Deion Sanders kind of slides in during your interview here and whispers to you, well, at media day? Is that kind of creepy?
I don't even know. I didn't know he did that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
He hasn't talked to you yet?
I haven't talked to him yet today.
Get ready. He's going to slide in all creepily.
Okay.
And he whispers.
The warning.
It goes down and it's very oogie.
I appreciate the warning.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Rich is down at the Super Bowl because I'm having a lot of personal problems, thanks to East Coast Metal Roofing. I just looked at the commercial that our sticker is supposed to be in for Hyundai, and it is not there. Or for Super Hyundai. I don't see a sticker.
I think there's actually going to be another one.
Okay.
I think that that's one of they made like two or three. You're talking about one that's got Chris Evans,
yes.
And Big Poppy and Rachel Dratch,
yes.
And the guy Jim Halpert.
Jim Halpert, that's right. Yes, indeed. All right, so Rich was at a media day yesterday.
Yep.
And so Rich asked for ideas on questions.
Well, let's first, before we get to that, let's get to some other stuff first. So when I arrived there, I saw that Kansas City was going to be first, so I wanted to make sure that I had as much time as possible in front of Andy Reid, and I got there like an hour early, and I stood in front of his podium for an hour before I got there. However, before I arrived, I actually ordered this on Sunday and picked it up Sunday evening when I arrived here in Miami, and I had an enlarged photo of Andy Reid in his punt, pass, and kick photo, where he's just a giant compared to all the other kids that are in the photo, where he could swallow all the other children that are his age in that photo. So I blew it up and I mounted it on a thing of cardboard so I could, make sure I could present it to him and get the full story of what actually happened. And my biggest disappointment is that Andy Reid took the picture, looked at it, and goes, "I'm 13, they're 8. And I went, "Really?" And he goes, "Yep, they're not the same age as me." And I'm like, "Well, that sucks, because that was really funny. I thought you were just like a giant." Like, "Nope, I'm 13, they're 8. Damn it. So there went my good plans for that. However, it didn't mean that we couldn't talk crushing food. Now, we do know the story that Adam Schefter told about how, which coach was it who took Andy Reid out to dinner, or which GM?
It was a GM from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Owner of the Eagles.
Okay. Took him out to dinner, and he said that the one thing he remembers most is that Andy Reid had ordered three steaks.
Andy Reid said, "I don't recall." But that makes it even better it was a Wednesday.
Right.
Probably.
So here I am with the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, the only one not wearing white. He was wearing his red Hawaiian shirt. Here is Andy Reid.
Coach Reid, so your episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is legendary. Are you still good friends with Guy Fieri, and do you plan on doing a follow-up episode?
Sequel? Yeah. No, I am good friends with him. He's a good man. Does a nice job. And he's a heck of a chef. So,
yeah. Did you? You should have presented him with a thing of trash can nachos.
I should have just brought some for him.
Yeah, you should just put him like right there on the table.
Will you eat this for me?
Yeah, eat some food there, fatso. Come on, dance.
Coach Reid, so your episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is legendary. Are you still good friends with Guy Fieri, and do you plan on doing a follow-up episode?
Sequel? Yeah. No, I am good friends with him. He's a good man. Does a nice job. And he's a heck of a chef. So.
Well, there's a story that came out after that one time in one sitting you ate three steaks. Is that true?
No, different.
Okay, what's the most...
Fake news.
What is the most you've eaten in one sitting? Because I forgot who it was. You said three steaks. Yeah. Have you ever had two in one sitting?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much it is.
All right. Well,
he wasn't playing along. Andy Reid, you're a disappointment.
You wanted so hard to root for him.
But I know. That's why you should go 49ers, 49ers, 49ers.
Because I'll
you
tell
broke my heart, Andy Reid. You didn't talk fat stuff.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, if I'm Andy Reid, I'm thrilled with these questions because it's just killing time where I don't have to answer football questions. I mean, maybe you made him feel bad. Maybe he was feeling a little, he's feeling.
Well, I didn't mean to do that.
Maybe he wasn't feeling his best. Maybe you fat-shamed him.
No, the only reason I asked that is that he has openly spoken about a lot of these things. He talked about the pig witch and how he loves crushing the pig witch and with the what's-his-name. He loves eating. He said he was going to go get a cheeseburger after me. The guy loves talking about food. Don't put those fries too far away, he yelled at Guy Fieri that one time.
All right. I mean, the UAOFP is going to be... After you, I gotta tell you that.
The UAOFP?
Yeah, the United Station of Fat People. Okay. The United Association of Fat People.
Our station. All right, so now let's get to a segment that we're going to call Questions That Fred Wanted Me to Ask.
You should see him here, Rich. He's really got a big smile on. He's been looking forward to this since we started.
All right. Once again, the name of this segment is Questions Rich, Fred
he's
Wanted Me
so
to
far
Ask.
Away from the car here.
I own it. These are the ones I wrote.
All right. Let's start with Travis Kelce, shall we?
Oh, you asked that? You asked that?
I asked part of that. This one's a part of, all right?
Okay, because you got nuts on you.
No,
if you asked that question.
This one I just asked parts of. That we kind of ramp our way up.
Okay.
Let's start with Travis Kelce.
When you won the AFC Championship, you got on the mic and said, you got to fight for your right to party. Why would you say that?
Well, one, it's true. Two, it's being played after every single touchdown that we score at Arrowhead. A lot of people don't know that that's what we play after every time we score. So it was something I knew could get the crowd riled up and get them involved in something that is going to be something I remember for the rest of my life.
Also, Bob Fesco from Kansas City Radio, he reported this morning that you are going to retire after the Super Bowl. Is that true?
No. I have no intentions of retiring.
Or do you know Bob Fesco?
No.
All right.
You're okay, Sergeant.
Okay. Because the question... If I can find the question I wrote... Because then you use one of Lockhart's. But if I can find the question that I wrote...
Yeah.
It was far, far meaner.
Yeah, that was... That one was...
You would have had to have really big nuts. My question for Kelce is... After the last game, you said you got to fight for your right to party. Any plan to say something similarly stupid and corny after the Super Bowl?
So now let's get to Sammy Watkins.
Oh, boy. Now, when I wrote this one, it's the only one that made me laugh. That, like, I laughed at my own thing.
This was one that I read it and I had no idea what you meant until you explained it to me.
Oh, he's gonna not know what the hell you're talking about. Okay. Oh, I wanted to hear this. Now, were there other people around?
Yeah.
Okay. How many other people were around?
Lots.
Oh, play this. Don't make me wait.
All right, here we go.
Emmanuel, are you a fan of the Emmanuel movies? Like Emmanuel 1, Emmanuel 2?
What did I do? Oh,
that was Emmanuel Sanders. That wasn't Watkins.
All right, so this is Sammy Watkins. It's not very long.
Oh, boy.
It's just stupid. It's not anything mean. It's just stupid.
Okay.
Hey, Sammy, anyone ever call you the sandwich kid?
Nah, never got that.
With Sammy Sandwich?
I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I got a lot of nicknames.
Would you consider maybe that one? I mean, that seems like one that probably would catch on.
But why would it be Sandwich? What's the meaning behind it?
Sammy. It's, Sammy. Like, that's what you call, like, a really good sandwich. Hey, sandwich kid with another TD.
Hey, Nate. Hey, I like it. Put me in the middle and just sandwich. I get it.
What if he after the Super Bowl tweets out that the sandwich kid just raised the trophy?
You better hurry and trademark that one before they steal it like the Bruins did.
Because it's Sammy Watkins, and he goes, the question, anyone ever call you the sandwich kid? And I'm like, I don't get that. What do you mean? Because you know Sammy?
You did your best to sell it, though. You didn't step back.
That's what they should call him, is the sandwich kid. His name's Sammy.
I see.
These are people call. I see you didn't get Suggs. My question for Suggs.
I couldn't find Suggs. I was looking for Suggs. I couldn't find him.
Okay. My question for Suggs is, ever think of starting a charity called Suggs Hugs for Cats or something? My Andy Reid question was, anyone ever call you old stash face? My question for George Kittle says, after the last game he wore a shirt of Jimmy Garoppolo shirtless, any desperate plans to gain attention for after the Super Bowl?
Well, let's get to Emmanuel Sanders, shall we?
Okay, because this came up organically on the air. All right, here is Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel, are you a fan of the Emmanuel movies, like Emmanuel 1, Emmanuel 2, Emmanuel in Space?
I've never watched any of those movies.
It's about a woman who kind of finds herself, and it's like the erotic adventures of the woman Emmanuel. She goes to space at one point. It's very ribald. Are you a fan of those movies?
Nah, I've never seen none of them movies.
I think there's about 15 Emmanuel movies. They used to be on Cinemax back in the day. I think you could probably download them now.
What the hell is this dude talking about Emmanuel movies? Hey, bro, it'd be some weird people here, bro.
All right, well.
I mean, they're about a woman discovering her sexuality. How many of those are Sylvia Crystal in?
Maybe it's in Black Emmanuel. Black Emmanuel.
I got to use the word ribald.
Yeah, well, listen, at least you can say that Jack Edwards is good for something. All right. Well, between the Fesco call and those, I'm sure everyone's on our side. Old Sammy.
Let me hear the Sammy one more time.
I don't care what anyone says. I laughed when I wrote this.
Hey, Sammy, anyone ever call you the sandwich kid?
Nah, never got that.
With Sammy Sandwich?
I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I got a lot of nicknames.
Would you consider maybe that one? I mean, that seems like one that probably would catch on.
But why would it be Sandwich? What's the meaning behind it?
Sammy. It's, you know, Sammy. It's like, that's what you call like a really good sandwich. Hey, Sandwich Kid with another TD.
Hey, Nate. Hey, I like it. Put me in the middle and just sandwich. I get it.
Yeah, he didn't get it. But were the other reporters jealous?
No, they just looked like I got an a-hole on my forehead.
Oh, boy.
Like, you jackass. We had, like, really important sports
stuff
to
ask. Yeah, I'm sure they had a lot of important things to ask. All right. Very good. I'm not looking at Twitter.
I thought you were. That's why I was yelling at you in your headphones to get off Twitter.
I'm not looking at Twitter.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Once again, that was questions Fred wanted me to ask.
Yeah. That's right. All right. We'll be joined by Will Brinson and so much more as Rich is over there at the Super Bowl.
The games are only half of it. Sure and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Over, Toucher and Rich, this hour of Toucher and Rich, live from Radio Row in Miami, sponsored by East Coast Metal Roofing. So, Rich, I decided to take a trip down the old Twitter. By the way, I stand by the Fesco bit and the Media Day bit. C. Dilly says, what an awful day for Fred today, just awful. Sports Hub management is listening to this content and thinking money well spent.
Rob LaPrelle says, these are painful. Brady Skinner says, boring quips, forgot it was basically Fred's question, so that's why. Bit should be called questions Fred comes up with on Ambien. There you go. And then there's a bunch of stuff about nachos. That's just all nacho stuff. And then let's get to when the Fesco stuff.
His calls, so what you're saying is that unanimously, it was just a hit.
His calls were not funny. Major waste of long-awaited Fesco moment. My ear started bleeding. I was hoping...
we're talking about the Fesco thing.
This is the Fesco thing. Jesus, those callers were worse than the Patriot defender. They did not realize they were all me.
You see, most people don't know that was all you.
Yeah. Highly unsuccessful with the callers. Should have taken my call. I had a haiku prepared. That was cringeworthy. And so, obviously, the show going famously. I stand by both. Rich.
Oh, yeah. I've got no problem. I've got no problem with either one.
I stand by both.
I don't cringe often. And for some reason, just watching the very nice Sammy Watkins and Emmanuel Sanders be completely confused. This, like, stoner guy next to me, I don't know, he was like a camera guy. After I asked the Emmanuel questions, I walk away and he goes, great question. I love those movies. That's really weird.
I found them to be very disappointing.
Yeah.
Emmanuel was never very good looking, unfortunately.
You know who yesterday I tried to speak with for a while, and he would have spoken with us, obviously, because we have somewhat of a relationship for us. Hell, he did a 98 mile with us. Wes Welker was walking around because, you know, he's the receivers coach for the 49ers. And he was mobbed. And it was mostly from local media. It was guys like Tommy Kern and a bunch of people who were talking to him. And I did I see this correctly? But I thought yesterday somebody asked him about what do you think of Brady's decision? And I might be wrong, but I thought his answer was like, I don't care. I don't care what Tom Brady does.
And somewhere Edelman's like, you son of a bitch.
Right. Because Edelman's going to pull a Cape Fear underneath Brady's car.
Yeah.
And just like grab underneath the bottom of it and just ride to wherever he's going. But I have to take a look at that. But I mean, a ton of people were talking to him, and that's a guy that, you know, it would be interesting to kind of find out what he thinks of why the Patriots weren't able to get on the same page with their receivers. Because not only is he a receivers coach, but he's also a guy that's played with Tom Brady, and why just stuff wasn't able to click. And I don't know. He was absolutely mobbed yesterday, so I wasn't able to talk to him.
Well, I'm sure he's not a big fan of the Patriots, given that the way he was kind of run out of town. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Rich, I thought I'd seen the same thing. He had a two-word answer. People were all over him saying, where do you think Brady, do you care about where Brady is playing next year? And Welker just looked up and said, not really.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah, what do I care? As long as we're not at the Derby and I'm taking ecstasy and just handing out money. It's like, I got no time for him.
Give me a dumb-looking hat.
Tom, go ahead.
Guys, that bit was great, and I'm going to tell you why. I'll break it down for you. The first caller, when you said Sully, I said, oh, boy, here comes some jabroni. And then, Fred, you started with some Greek or Lebanese accent. I don't know if anybody caught how funny that was with the intro of Sully. Very, very overlooked. And then the part about having the clam chowder restaurant and all these people from Kansas City somehow coming to your restaurant was missed. I thought that was brilliant. The only problem I had was the British accent. I wanted the Paul McCartney worked in.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I thought you were going to go sandwiches on that one.
I was waiting for that. And then not to get, not to critique too fully here. This isn't a Shakespeare thing, but Ray from Baltimore had so much potential.
After
the fact, I didn't pick up on that. But when you said that afterwards, I'm like, you need to do this more often. It was such a funny old school radio bit, but I loved every minute of it.
Well, thank you, sir. You have great taste. You have great taste. But yeah, but if I'm Welker, what do I care? I hope Welker's okay because he took a lot of hits.
And I hope Edelman is going to be okay, too, because these guys that are slot receivers that take that kind of punishment that play a long time, that's not good.
I'll tell you the one thing, though, that you can tell from all these guys, and I know that when things are going well, everyone praises everybody, and when they're not, everyone's jumping ship, but they really like Kyle Shanahan. And we know that Belichick loves Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he wouldn't have given Jimmy Garoppolo to him for a second pick. And you heard the question I asked him. You know, how shocked were you when you got that call from Belichick saying, we'll give it to you for next to nothing? And, I mean, it was like, that was a deal that could not have been, that was not going to be made. Like, it was off the table. It was something that we had been told it wasn't going to happen. And so
here,
when it did.
I can play the Shanahan
thing. Yeah. So this is Kyle Shanahan. I asked him about, you know, how shocked he was when Belichick called him and said, hey, you can take Garoppolo off our hands for a second round pick. When I think it was out there in the universe that the Browns were willing to give up the farm to get this guy. So here's Kyle Shanahan from last night.
We heard 2 second round picks that Cleveland was offering up.
Was it 2 second round or was it a first and a second?
I remember reading that Cleveland was all set to fork over a first.
Someone just told us not so long ago that it was 2 second round picks, but I don't know if that person is correct or not. Here we go.
Kyle, how shocked were you when Bill Belichick called and offered Jimmy Garoppolo for just a second-round pick?
It caught me off because I know that wasn't a possibility earlier in the year. And then it happened 2 days before the trade deadline was very surprising because it wasn't like we were in talks up to that point. We checked on it earlier in the year, and it wasn't an option. And then when it did, he reached out to us to let us know. And, the day before, we got killed by another team. I think it was Philly. So I was pretty down about that and came in and was able to talk to Bill and find out that news and threw me off for a little bit. But once I really kind of could put it together and figure it out, it took about 10 minutes for John and I talking, and we agreed with it, and we were very glad that phone call happened.
He obviously has a fondness for you. Did he ever explain why?
Okay. Now, what we've heard is – go ahead.
Well, that was the thing, too, is that, you know, I want to know, because they have a relationship, and you know this, Fred, that, you know, Belichick loves this guy. He wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to be successful. Maybe as, you know, people talk about it, solidifies his legacy, that he was able to find this great talent, and he's got to be happy as hell that he's in the Super Bowl right now. But I just want to know, from all the times that they talk, and I think they do talk a lot, Shanahan and Belichick, whether he ever told him, this is the reason that we did it for nothing.
From what we've heard again is that Belichick, part of this everyone knows and part of it maybe you don't. What we've heard, and I believe to be true, is Belichick obviously was furious at Kraft. Kraft said, we have this deal on the table from Cincinnati. Belichick said, I'm never effing going to trade with them, Cleveland, because based on his past history with the team. Then he, out of spite, just called up Shanahan like you just heard, and said, give me a second-round pick. Like 5 minutes later, they called Belichick back and accept the pick. But what we heard, which is interesting, is that because Shanahan had worked with Kirk Cousins in Washington, that Shanahan, that the plan all along was to jettison Garoppolo for Cousins. But then when Cousins, someone got hurt, And Garoppolo started playing, and he was playing well enough where they changed their plans.
Can you imagine Garoppolo with the Washington Redskins? Oh, my Lord.
Well, just another one of those things. Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes on another team?
Yeah.
I mean, just a team just wasting him. I got to believe that happens constantly. It's not like these guys – I mean, they have so much tape on these guys in college. You know, and what percentage of first-round quarterbacks miss, do you think?
Oh, Jesus. There are a lot of swings.
A decent amount, man.
Yeah.
80%?
Yeah. Think about the Jake Locker, Christian Ponder draft. I mean, there are a lot of misses.
Achilles Smith. I mean, like, just think of all these guys.
Yeah.
And I would say about 80% don't pan out. To at least what you thought, at least to be a long-time starter. And so it can't be that all these guys just suck. It's got to be that these guys are put in situations where if they had an Andy Reid, they could probably succeed. Can't you see Patrick Mahomes on a team where they're like, you're too unconventional, you leave the pocket too much, your arm angles are all weird.
Think about the offense he played in college,
yeah.
That air raid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's hard.
for the common person to look and see, oh, obviously that translates because
right.
it didn't at the time.
I mean, you could try. I mean, if you look at him in his mechanics, you could go, oh, they're awful mechanics. Like, you know, he's running to his right, throwing sidearm across his body to the left. I mean, these are all things that a lot of coaches are going to try to correct, but Andy Reid embraced them and kind of built an offense around that. So it's interesting. It's just interesting how that happened. All right, is Brinson with you?
He's going to be here in just a sec.
All right, have you seen him?
I saw him last night. I haven't seen him this morning, but I guess he texted Dan and says he's going to be there in a minute.
All right, so we will have Will Brinson hear the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 8:50 for your chance to score a pair of 3-day general admission wristbands to Boston Calling, happening this Memorial Day at Harvard Athletic Complex. Full lineup announcement today at 10 a.m. For details and to purchase tickets, visit bostoncalling.com. Rich is out at the Super Bowl thanks to East Coast Metal Roofing. And
I have a gentleman with me as well. Just showed up. He's in the Apex Entertainment guest chair right now. A gentleman. By the way, I forgot you had a beard.
Yeah. This is my regular slot, too.
Yes, Will Brinson here with us this morning. He was at Media Day last night. Did you enjoy the shenanigans of Marlins Park?
No. I don't know if it's because this is like my 10th Super Bowl. And I'm becoming jaded, like a jaded journalist or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I find that I'm kind of claustrophobic.
Oh, well, then it sucked for you last night.
Yeah, I get like a little, like they took these, like they brought in bleachers.
Yeah.
And made the park smaller.
Yeah, so Fred, okay, you have to understand, this was done at obviously Marlins Park where the Marlins play. And my interpretation of what it was going to be like was, wow, what a lot of room. You can move around. There's going to be plenty of place. But Will's exactly right. They didn't use any of the infield.
None of it.
It was just the outfield and not even all of it. And they brought in these bleachers. And it was to the point where, I mean, they must have let 500 people more than they should have down there.
Oh, and easily.
You could not breathe if you were just trying to get around that area. It was really, really.
The frustrating thing is they could have taken the entire outfield and not had those bleachers. You could have let fans in around the outfield.
Yeah.
And then had like area where like media could have set up and like set your stuff down. And, you know, like you just felt, I don't know. They've done it now where they set up cameras before every podium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you used to be able to walk up to the podium and it would be jostle for whatever. Like now you can't get to ask a player a question.
I moved one. I think it was when either Andy Reid or I think it was Andy Reid. And when I got there, there were 6 tripods set up in the front. So it was physically impossible for you to stand up and be able to talk to
anyone.
But what happens is these people bring their tripods.
And they leave them.
And they go mill around. And sometimes they don't even put the camera on it. So I just picked it up and moved it behind me. And this guy came up and started bitching at me. I'm like, dude, I've been standing here for an hour. Where have you been?
It's also like, hey, man, look, you've already hit me 7 times with that tripod. Like, why don't you go do something else?
I mean, right. Just because you have a tripod doesn't give you the right to cut
in. I thought the teams were a little... Some of the players, there were a bunch of really good players and a bunch of really boring players, if that makes sense. Like, Chris Jones was hilarious. Did you talk to him at all?
No.
So we went and asked him, we were doing a scavenger hunt for CBS, and one of the things we had to ask Chris Jones about his combine wardrobe malfunction. Do you know about that?
Yeah. Is this the one where...
Yes.
Okay, I do remember.
He's running the 40, and it all falls out.
Yeah.
And he just takes a dive, so the whole world doesn't see his junk, for lack of a better phrase. So we asked him about it. He's like... Oh, and first of all, I asked him, I was like, hey, man, like, I don't know if you heard Philip Rivers, apparently out in Los Angeles, out with the Chargers. He's like, man, Philip's my guy. He's like, I like him. I was like, really? I'm surprised. He's like, he punched me in week 1 this year. Right? Like, he punched me in our first game. I was like, okay. And I'd forgotten about that. Like, Rivers, like, got mad at him and, like, threw a punch on Chris Jones's leg or, like, something like that. And then he was like, so about the combine, you're talking about the wardrobe malfunction. He's like, let me just put it this way. Could have happened to a better guy.
Right.
And we're like, oh, whoa. Yeah.
He had nothing to be embarrassed about there.
No, he definitely did not. And then at the end he goes, I'll just say one thing. if you're going to go, go balls out. We're like, okay. The PR guy comes flying in, and we're like running away with our CBS cameras.
We were talking about this earlier, Fred. So you get to see firsthand when Deion Sanders like lurks in the background and waits for his moment to just slide on in and get all creepy whispery in the middle of the interview. And it's just, it's so cringeworthy when he does that.
And he doesn't ever have like a great question.
No.
He's like, yeah.
No,
he's like ours.
No. Our questions were great.
They were questions.
They were great.
Whose were y'all's?
Yes.
Well, you got Nick Bosa to talk about Baker Mayfield.
I did.
That's awesome.
I did. Yep. He did talk crap on Baker Mayfield, which I like because I know he hates him. Hates him with the fire of a thousand suns.
And like, so I thought, like, it was really, it was just weird. There's like a lot, like Frank Clark was, so one of our things was get Frank Clark to yell at you. So I was like, hey, Frank, we got to do a scavenger hunt. If I don't get it done, I get fired. I was like, I need you to yell at me and tell me that I'm a bad writer and bad at my job and I deserve to be fired. He goes, you're a bad writer. You're terrible at your job and you should be fired. All of a sudden, like, everybody starts looking. Because they know, like, people from other podiums are like, whoa, why Frank Clark's losing it on this guy? He's like, no, sorry, it's a joke. But I mean, like, most people played along, like, for the most part.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was like, I don't know. The vibe with the two teams is very different, I thought. I thought the Chiefs were much more buttoned up and reserved.
Totally.
And the 49ers were like, I don't know. We were talking about this on our podcast last night. I don't know if that's good or – like, I don't know what that means.
The 49ers are a much more likable team. And yesterday just solidified it. It's like Kelsey's kind of a douche. Andy Reid wasn't even really playing along yesterday. Whereas the 49ers – like, Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been happier to be there. Shanahan's a great personality, and I love Bosa.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for Bosa, he's one of the few guys that actually said that was on his mind. On top of that, the Kansas City's got, like, Tyreek Hill. There was part of me that just wanted to listen into what people were asking. Because how do you go over there and, like, not mention what's happened in his life over the past year?
I know I was talking to Lindsey Jones of The Athletic, and she said that she asked him about – she's like, hey, you know, what, like the way she broached it was, or trying to broach it was like, hey, did you think there was ever a time you wouldn't play football again?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, I just don't know that you can walk up at media night and be like, hey, so about the domestic violence.
Yeah, you're not going to get an answer. So, like, that's the way we talked about that earlier is how you're going to ask the question. And that's, and we pretty much came up with that. Like, did you ever imagine, you know, 8 months ago that you would be, you know, sitting up here right now? And so that's kind of the way you have to phrase it. But I don't know, there was some breaking news yesterday from Sammy Watkins, and Rich asked him if he was ever called the Sandwich Kid.
Will, we did a bit where Fred just wrote questions that he wanted me to ask, and that was one of them.
I was under the impression that there was audio of Sammy Watkins coming.
I mean, Fred, you want to let it roll, Fred?
Yeah.
You got it there.
And then there was freaking news.
Why don't you just play him the Emmanuel Sanders one? Just play it for him.
These are all my fault.
That Fred wrote down some questions. Why don't you ask some of these?
I think they're great. All right, here is Emmanuel Sanders. Do you have a notepad with you, Will?
I do not. I mean, I do in my bag.
Yeah, go grab it. I'll give you a second.
Okay.
Because you're going to want to shorthand this some bitch.
Right, what is the question that he's being asked?
You're ready to hear it.
Watch. Okay.
Emmanuel, are you a fan of the Emmanuel movies, like Emmanuel 1, Emmanuel 2, Emmanuel in Space?
I've never watched any of those movies.
It's about a woman who kind of finds herself, and it's like the erotic adventures of the woman Emmanuel. She goes to space at one point. It's very ribald. Are you a fan of those movies?
Nah, I've never seen none of the movies.
I think there's about 15 Emmanuel movies. They used to be on Cinemax back in the day. I think you could probably download them now.
What the hell is this dude talking about Emmanuel movies? Hey, bro, it'd be some weird people here, bro.
Okay, I'm going to have to... Is that audio available on the NFL website?
Yeah, it is.
That's beautiful. So we thought about that, too. Like, Chris Jones definitely talked about his balls, and it's definitely available on, like, NFLcom.
Oh, yeah. It's the questions that nobody pays attention to.
See, Emmanuel Sanders' name is Emmanuel.
Yes.
Look, I was born in 80. How do I understand how... He should know about this.
He should. I mean, I don't...
He's in the demographic.
Perhaps he didn't have cable.
Wait, what? I don't have... my notepad doesn't have internet access. Do you know what year Emmanuel Sanders was born?
He's got to be like 80, 81.
No, because I'm 81, and he's not, he'd be 38, like.
Oh, you see, I thought he was. I thought he was like. Is he?
No, he'd be like 85 or 86.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
87.
87.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe, yeah, maybe you wouldn't know.
I could see 87. You don't know, man. Because like, so by the time you're. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt here. Let's say by the time you're 12, you're 87, so you're 99. I mean, no, 99. You're not worried about like you're not using no. like your parents' like Cinemax thing because no. you've got
that's right around the internet,
like AOL.
Yeah, right. Yeah. At that point, you're rocking the what was it called, Netscape Navigator?
Yeah.
But Will, if you didn't get it.
His name Emmanuel is Emmanuel.
Sanders' name is Emmanuel, which is the same as the softcore adventures of Emmanuel.
Yes, right. Emmanuel in Space, a famous. I was born in 81.
They were very disappointing. I never found her attractive.
But if you they were very disappointing.
Yeah. If you want to write about it, I mean, that's up to you. I don't really.
I may use that audio for my podcast.
Yeah. I mean, feel free. I mean, if you. I mean, the people need to know. By the way, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 will score a pair of 3-day general admission wristbands to Boston Calling, a copy of Black Emmanuel, and Boston Common is happening this Memorial Day at Harvard Athletic Complex. Full lineup announcement today at 10 a.m. for details.
Can you get the theme? Can you get the theme? Just please get the theme.
Can someone get the theme to
Black Emmanuel? Actually, like,
I've heard Fred say lots of silly things in all the like the radio time that I've done with you guys. I've never heard him like about to lose it laughing, and I feel like he's there right now. That's amazing.
For details and purchase tickets, visit bostoncalling.com. What I'm doing now, Will, is doubling down on what people thought was an awful bit.
So I know. I get it.
What I'm doing is I'm saying double freedom rockets to the audience. I stand by it. And if he didn't like it, I'm going to keep tripling down on it. All right. So you went over there to the
here is this it?
All right. Are there no words or is this just like
this is not setting off my inner childhood, I got to tell you.
No, this is, you hear the snakes as Black Emmanuel discovers her sexuality.
The issue, I think, if I recall correctly, with the Emmanuel movies was it always felt like a little maybe too much
plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hey, like, it's been 15 minutes and. You know, you're sort of setting up the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know how your space adventure got funded.
Yeah,
or the technicalities of how you indeed launch into space.
Not actually here for the backstory.
Yeah, young lady Chatterley didn't have those problems. Young lady Chatterley, she's in that stable within 5 minutes. Yeah, and then, you know, if you go guns... I mean, you got to watch Eric Estrada for a while, but then
you're going straight Sedaris with that one. Eric Estrada and who was the name of the woman who was in all those movies?
I don't know.
Are you talking about Young Guns?
No, Guns.
Oh, I don't know about Guns.
It was from the maker of Malibu Express. We're just going to stay in Cinemax movies. Picasso, Trigger, all of those films. My wife had to screen all of those for TNT.
I was like, Young Guns. I was like, you're going to go like an hour and a half before you can catch anything.
Yeah. Okay. Those are great
movies.
I'll tell you
Young
what.
Guns, Young Guns 2 was
Young
legitimately
Guns 2 is
a good
awesome.
Movie.
That's a good
movie.
I don't know where we got.
All right. Well, we did learn one thing, though, and this actually is kind of funny because we had heard this from an inside source, and no one wanted to talk about it until we basically were like, yeah, so we know. You can tell us, or we're just going to sell everyone. Jimmy Garoppolo does have a nickname that the coaches call him.
Really?
And it's Dirk Diggler.
No way.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I asked Shanahan about it. Here it is right here.
Somebody who is close to your coaches told me that Jimmy has a nickname on the field, and his name is Dirk Diggler.
Go ask Jimmy about that. I'm not sure.
I did. He told me to ask you.
Someone did a skit on that. That made us laugh pretty hard, but
Why is that? Why did he get that name?
Because he can make any throw. He can make it all happen.
And just do it over again.
Just do it over. Just where do you want it? He'll put it there, and he'll throw it pretty good. So.
Yeah, apparently
That's pretty good.
Yeah, apparently he's not a big X's and O's guy. Like, they'll just go, like, he'll go, what do you want me to do? And they'll go, like, throw it to him. And then he'll do it. He'll go,
You want me to do it again?
You want me to do it again?
Yeah.
Just like the scene in Boogie Nights. Dave Richard, what's up, man? Coming on by? What's up? You know Will Brinson, Dave Richard?
Are you serious?
You guys work together. That's
yeah, we
course.
Worked together
yeah,
for like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hi, Will. Nice to meet you. Hello, David. Good to see you, buddy.
See, now everyone's showing up, Fred. They're finally starting to show up.
What's that?
Are they sharing a room?
Are you doing this?
You guys aren't sharing a room, like, are you? Like, on the CBS Dime?
No.
Are you in the airport, like, near... Because Breer's...
No, I'm... I talked to Breer about this yesterday.
Yeah, first thing he did was bitch, right?
He is a... What's that?
The first thing he did was bitch about his room, doesn't it?
In fact, when I left the conversation, he said, thank you for letting me bitch.
Yeah, he can't get over it.
Yeah, like, yeah. I know. He is a conspiracy. Did he tell you about the conspiracy? Well, I don't
know. No. Yes. Okay. No.
I think he did say something about the conspiracy.
I will say that, like, to Breer's point, it does feel, not, I don't want to be like, the media is being marginalized, we're being treated unfairly, but it does feel like, they're like, yeah, listen, if there's no food till 3, like, they didn't put food out till 3. Like, there's nowhere to walk around here and eat.
Yeah.
It is the first year that they didn't have public transportation to media night. Did you notice that?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they're trying to keep you away.
They're almost like you're making it like, now, here's the thing. It could be that they're purposely trying to inconvenience everybody, or what if they're bad at their jobs? That's my conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That a lot of people are not, like, this Radio Rose, have you been to the media workrooms?
Yeah.
It's like 3 conference rooms.
Yep.
Like, very small conference rooms. There's like, I think, 1,000 credentialed members to the media here. Like, you can't expect to put 1,000 people in 3 conference rooms with no food unless you want them to kill each other.
It's a very small city, so, I mean, they didn't...
Right, yeah, yeah.
There's no tourism. All right, well, Will Brinson, thanks for all the insight. And
am I doing 2 segments since I'm in purpose?
Yeah, you want to stick around?
Yeah, if you want to stick around. All right.
This is the only reason I came over here this morning.
Excellent.
I'd be lying in bed watching Emmanuel movies if I wasn't.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.